as the background for that. Verse 19.
Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have now so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
By verse 19. Who's the who referred to again in verse 19? Who's who? Yeah, John.
The unsaved.
The Gentiles over there, that's the previous couple of verses. The unsaved people. And so they have given their past feeling. Now, what do you think that means, past feeling? Any hands on that? Well, yes, Anna.
There's conscience, perhaps, has been seared with a hot iron. They no longer... It's like they no longer have the realization of when they're doing wrong. It's like they lack the discernment and the knowledge of right versus wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Past feeling, past discernment. That's very good. Past feeling, giving themselves over to various sins. What's the first sin mean? Lasciviousness. Hands on that. What does lasciviousness mean?
Wantonness.
Wantonness is one thing. Anything else?
Lust.
Could be lust. After all, he says, give over to lust and lasciviousness. Also, to work all uncleanness with greediness. What is greediness? How would we define that? Greediness. Any hands on that? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-901. Give us a call. Yes, John, and then Pastor Dan.
Greediness. I want it. I don't care how I got to get it. I want it from me.
All right, Pastor Dan.
And wanting more and more and more.
More and more and more.
That's
unsatiable appetite.
Yes. And then in verse 20, that word but, what does that stand for as a conjunction? You see it many times. Scripture? Any hands on that? It's certainly a contrast, isn't it? That's the Gentiles. Who do you think this verse is going to be referring to? In verse 20. John?
I mean, he's going to come back and speak to the born-again Christians.
Born-again, genuine Christians, born-again, saved. But, now, but so be, if so be, excuse me, but ye have not so learned Christ. What does that mean? So not have so learned Christ. Did the Lord Jesus Christ have any of these previous sins mentioned?
It's the opposite of that.
After that, perfect... A perfect man, a perfect God. God was—he was perfect God. The God-Man did not so learn Christ. In what sense would we learn the Lord Jesus Christ, believers? In what sense? Has He taught any of us here today?
Yes.
And if so, how?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Where did the Scriptures, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek Scriptures, come from?
Yes. By the Father through the Holy Spirit.
Well, who is the source of the one that gave the Holy Spirit the words?
Lord Jesus Christ.
He is the one. So we've not learned Christ this way. It's by the Scriptures. New Testament for sure, Old Testament as well. He gave the words to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them to the writers of the New Testament. We assume also the Old Testament. And so that's how not so learn Christ. If we study the Scriptures and learn the Scriptures and read them and follow them, the Lord Jesus Christ is our teacher, and we can learn from Him. I'm glad He put these things in writing so we can do that. Then in verse 22, yes, that ye do what in verse 22? Put off. What does it mean to put off something?
We didn't read 22 yet.
We didn't read 22.
I think we're still on verse 20, aren't we?
And that's so learned Christ. The learning by the Bible, and we studied that in the Bible, that He gave us, Holy Spirit, gave the writers and source of the Father.
You skipped 21.
We haven't done 21 yet.
Okay, all right. S.O.B. Now, what does the S.O.B. refer back to? And who is it referring to? If S.O.B. What does that mean? What's the soul? If soul, which is told about in verse 20, what is the soul?
Is having that, learned Christ.
That's right. See, if the believers, the Lord Jesus was writing, if he, the Christian believers, have not so learned Christ, all these evil things, and if so be, if they have read the scriptures and learned of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he say? If it so be that ye have heard him, who's the him referred back to? Yeah, Tammy.
But before you can learn it, you have to hear it.
That's right, I have to hear it. And who's the him?
The Lord Jesus
Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you so learn of Christ, and so you hear him, as he's given us the scriptures, the word of God, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and translate it accurately into the English in the King James Bible. And if so learn, and if he be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him in the scriptures, what is the conclusion in verse 21? What do you find when you hear the Lord Jesus? Yes, John.
Find the truth is in Jesus.
The truth. Lord Jesus is the source of truth. Way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And he's the truth. In the scriptures, if we have the proper translation from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the King James Bible, we can learn from him the truth. Then in verse 22...
We didn't read 22.
We haven't read 22. Oh, yes, okay. Let's read 22, 23, and 24 here.
He put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Our voice, all right, verse number, you say 22.
22.
Also, what does the Lord tell us to do in addition to other things preceding us? What does God tell us to do, Pastor Dan and Bill? John. What's that name?
Put off former manner.
All right.
Former manners you used to have, former conversations, ways to do things when you were, before you were a believer.
All right. Do all genuine Christians follow this, do you think?
No.
No, they don't. Why is it that they do not follow these things? Why do some Christians, genuine Christians, insist on following their old ways, their old paths? What is it?
They're carnal.
They're carnal, fleshly, that's right. And they slip back into the old life. And sometimes we wonder, are they genuine Christians, if that's the case? I'm not saying they're not, but we wonder about that. If you manifest the flesh rather than the spirit, John?
In some cases, because they're not reading the scriptures themselves that much, and they're being taught by pastors and teachers that are teaching them heretical doctrines
that
allow them to stay in their worldly ways.
That's true. So they just follow what they've been taught, and some of them have been taught false because they go to the wrong type of churches and hear the wrong things on television and various other places.
And lack knowledge.
And lack the knowledge. So that's 21.
That was 22.
The top I had 22. Put off, that means, what does that put off mean? Hands on that? Yes, John?
Do away with.
Do away with. Or just like you put off a coat or something like that, or gloves, you just take it off of what it used to be on and remove it. And that's what should be put off in this particular situation here. Yes, Daniel.
The old man.
Right, the old man, the old nature of the person, whatever it may be. And put off concerning the former, what does conversation in this mean, in this sense mean? Anna?
Walk of life and manner. Like in life, as you walk in life, not necessarily, like even your manner of living.
Your manner of living.
Behavior, conduct.
That's right, your conversation, the way of living, how you conduct yourself, put off the former way of life. That's when you're unsaved, when you're lost, and Satan's child. What's the old man? Put off the old man.
The sin nature.
Sin nature, the thing that was not with God, but of the flesh put off, where the form of conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitfulness. You can't trust the old nature, the old man, the old person. You trust the Lord, and you got to flee from these corrupt things, these lustful things, deceitful lusts. What does deceit mean? How would you define deceit? Questions at BATDC.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. What does deceit mean? And is it good or bad?
It is deceit, purposeful trickery.
Right? Purposeful deceit. In other words, you know what's true, but you say what's not true in order to fool somebody or to something else, somebody. And it's known, it's a known thing, deceit. You don't do it without knowledge, I think. Deceit is trickery. You can say things by stumbling and by error, but deceit is something that's purposeful, isn't it? Yeah, Tammy.
In this case, the lusts that so attract us are deceitful because they're bad for us. They're going to destroy our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so they're deceitful. And
deceitful is corrupt.
They draw us in, mm-hmm. and then they trick us. Somehow they're good when they're really bad.
Mm-hmm. And they're corrupt, as it says here in this verse. Now, did we read 23 yet?
Yes.
Okay. And instead of using these corrupt lusts and putting on the old form of conversation, what should also be done is in addition to putting off the old nature and conversation or way of life, what's the and referred to? And what?
Be renewed.
Renewed in the spirit of your mind. What spirit is he referring to here, do you think? Is it the human spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? What would be the... It doesn't define itself, but what do you think that would mean? Renewed according to the spirit of your mind.
Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to be renewed itself, right. So it would have to be man's...
Right, so what would be the spirit of your mind? Wouldn't be the flesh.
The soul. Well,
the mind is the flesh, part of the flesh too, but... it's the spirit that is should be godly and not ungodly. So that's a little difficult to understand, but be renewed. What does renew mean? Renew. That bill.
Means refresh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Like the refresh button on your computer or something like
right.
that. It means to stop taking things the way you normally take them mm-hmm. routinely. Look at them fresh, as if you've never seen them before.
Yes,
read the Word of God as if you've never heard those words before.
Mm-hmm. Renewed, that's right. We haven't read 24 yet, have we?
Yes.
We have read it? Okay. And what else does it say? Who's the ye referred to here in verse 24?
Ye. Born-again Christians.
Born-again, genuine Christians. And now, the opposite of put off in verse 22... is now put on in verse 24. Mm-hmm. What are they to put on? What are the genuine Christians to put on as to put things off the agenda?
The new man.
What does the new man refer to? The new man, including the new women, but I mean the new person, new man in that sense. Not restricting it to males, but yes, Tammy.
Those things that the Holy Spirit would lead us to do through the Word of God.
All right. And yes, Pastor Dan.
Which includes the righteousness and holiness, being righteous and being holy.
All right.
Based upon what the Word of God says, as Tammy mentioned.
Yes, and the new man includes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That's part of the new nature. And we're to put on that and put off the sinful part and put on. Yeah, Anna.
So you're saying that we have to put on the Holy Spirit? I thought he indwelled us at the moment of salvation.
No, I say the genuine Christians have the Holy Spirit, That's part of the new man, see, the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's where you put on the things the Holy Spirit teaches, not the things that the flesh teaches.
You can't possibly put the new man on unless you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you.
That's true, because that's the new nature. The new nature, the very center of the new nature is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on every genuine Christian. And put it on, putting on means, what does it mean to put on the Holy Spirit, put on the new man? What's that put on?
This is about, this deals with the process of sanctification, conforming to that new nature which is in Christ.
All right. And not the old nature, not the old conversation that we used to be doing, but the new man. Put on, make full use of the new nature, the new created nature, the new man, which is the Holy Spirit indwelling every Christian believer. The new man. The new nature. Now, in verse number 24, it says something about the creation of this new nature, a new man. What does it consist of? What's the nature of it?
It's after God. It's
after God? It's, and what else?
Modeled after Him.
Okay. What else?
His righteousness, His holiness.
Righteousness and holiness. Nothing sinful about the new nature, about the Holy Spirit, about the Lord right. Jesus, about God the Father. Yeah, Hannah?
So, it's like when in the Garden of Eden, when, or I guess, when God created Adam, He created Adam in His image, but then there was the fall, and so it became a marred image. It was not even, it was, but now we have the new creature, the new creation, and our souls are made, like we were spiritually dead and now we're made alive again. I guess you could compare you about how God breathed into Adam, like the his nostrils, the breath of life, and, mm-hmm. and when we become born again, we receive the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which I believe in Hebrew, spirit and breath are the same word. But anyway, so now that we have been born again, we shall be like Christ, right? We're being conformed to His image, and so man was created in the image of God, but the born again believers, they can be even more because they've been saved and born again and sanctified, and God is conforming them to the image of His Son, and so it's sort of a paradise restored, if you wish. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that in the sense, it's like the fulfillment of what God wanted in the Garden of Eden, but because of the fall, we're continually being sanctified and restored, and it won't be realized in full until the eternal state, but it's just sort of interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rambling, I'm sorry.
Now notice, John.
Yeah, well, God created, in the eternity past, the Godhead got together, they knew what they wanted to do, and in that sense, the Lord God created that through the blood of Jesus Christ, the new creature, the new man could be made, conformed to the image of Jesus, so it would be like Him. Not that we'd be little gods. I don't want to make sure that's clear. I don't believe in that kind of heresy at all. But so we would be righteous. It's only through His blood that covers us, that brings us this.
And notice in verse 24, a new man is created. Remember the new creations. New creations, creation, special creation. When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells that person, man, woman, or child, and it's a creation. God created that. And we've got to understand that. Created after God in perfect righteousness and holiness. That doesn't mean the old nature's holiness and righteousness, right. But that new man is from top to bottom, and we've got to be sure. Did we read 25 yet?
No.
Let's read 25, 26, and 27.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil.
All right, in verse 25. Wherefore, how does that go back to the preceding teaching? Anna?
Well, it's going back to how we're supposed to put off the former conversation and the deceitful lusts, and we're supposed to be putting on the new man and righteousness and true holiness. So we're also supposed to put away lying. Because lying is part of deceitfulness and corruption in the old man, and it's not part of righteousness or holiness.
All right. So this is some of the things that we're put on, see? Putting away, putting off the one sins of wickedness, putting on. Lying. How does a person lie? How would you define that method? An action? That's today?
Something's not the truth.
Something's not the truth? And is Tammy?
When you give heed to lies, in other words, you listen to them. And there's philosophies all over the world. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to that, then you're feeding on lies. And so that's all that you have in mm-hmm. your repertoire to speak to anyone.
Now, let me ask you this question. If you make a mistake by what you say sometimes, is that necessarily lying?
No.
On your part. Okay.
No.
It may be a lie, it may be false, but to be a liar, what are two things at least that you must...
You know it's not
true. You know it's not true. What else? You speak it and it's all anyways. You see?
Yeah, so you're purposely told anyways.
So putting away these lyings, very important to receive this, and then... What should we do instead of not having anything to do with falsehoods or lying in this verse, in 25? And who is it referring? Yes, John.
We should always speak the truth.
Right? Every man speak truth with his neighbor, truth with anybody, honesty. And he's writing to what kind of people here in this section? Saved or lost? Pardon me?
Saved.
Let's say to him, I couldn't hear.
Born again Christians.
Neighbor, for we are members one of another. Members of what? What sense are every genuine Christian a member of somebody else?
The body of Christ.
Body of Christ, members of other people are saved. And even though we don't really realize it every day, but that's the truth, that's what God says. Every genuine Christian is a member of another one. Yeah, Anna?
So the whole point of the beginning of the chapter was that there was supposed to be this unity. And in verse 13, we all come in the unity of the faith. And, you know, early, like one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so the idea, I mean, if people are lying to each other, then there's a lack of unity.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, that's good. So, speaking every man truth. Now, where do we find truth? Where is truth to be discovered and found? How will we define it? Is things all things in the newspaper truth?
No.
The internet truth?
Only the Bible.
And the Bible. And Pastor Dan and John.
Scripture is the source of our truth.
Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the truth, the way, the truth. And do all people think that the King James Bible is truth?
No.
No. Do they say, yeah, Tammy?
The world has many ideas, which I was trying to say before. I guess it didn't make any sense. And a lot of times when we speak from the ideas of the world and not from the Word of God. When we're speaking from the Scripture, then we as Christians can relate one to another. But when we speak just of things of this world, then that's not what we have in common. That's not where our fellowship should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, a long time ago, many years ago, I remember having a discussion about fellowship or something, and I remember somebody said we should fellowship around problems, and I thought that was odd. So, because that's not what we have in common. I mean, I guess that person had problems in common with other people, but we have to fellowship around what we have in common in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, that was verse
25,
speaking truth with his neighbor. Now, sometimes truth hurts, am I right?
Yep.
Sometimes truth is unkind.
People don't want to hear it.
But, so if you speak truth, sometimes it's easier to shut up and not speak truth, because if it hurts people, it's very difficult to do, am I right? If the truth of somebody is they smell awful, there's odors about them, just horrible. Now, if you tell them the truth, what sometimes would be their reaction to the truth?
They may
be aghast. Be
aghast. Offended.
So, in other words, truth sometimes hurts, does it not? But we should speak every man truth to his neighbor. And honestly, we could be kind as we tell the truth, I guess, as kind as possible. And say it in a nice way, maybe. But that, Anna.
Verse 15, speaking the truth in love.
Yes. Speaking the truth in love. That's what we need to do. And so, in verse 25, every man with his neighbor, fellow believers, members, one another. We read 26, didn't we?
Yes.
All right. What does this command state, and what does it mean? Is that?
Be angry and sin not. You know, anger itself is not a sin.
All right.
But if we act on that anger in a negative way, then that's sinning.
Was the Lord Jesus Christ ever angry?
Yes.
Yes, he was. What was he angry about?
About the
money changers.
What was it?
The money changers.
Money changers, one thing. What else, Annie?
They made the temple, the place where people were to come and worship the Lord, into a marketplace.
In a marketplace, that's right. So, he was angry against wickedness and sin. And so should we be, angry against wickedness and sin. But, he says, sin not. In other words, you can be angry, but you can't be angry at the wrong thing. Some people are angry about churches and about the Bible. They are very angry about the Bible, like the King James Bible and Texas Receptus, various other things. But when we're expressing strong feelings against wickedness and corruption and sin and Satan and other things, don't sin by mistranslating or misspeaking what we're talking about, what we're angry about. Be very careful in our anger. But we should be angry. We should be angry at all kinds of sin, all kinds of wickedness, starting with our own hearts, our own souls, our own bodies. Even though we're Christians, are Christians perfect and sinless?
No.
So we've got to be very, very careful. Be angry first of our own sin, but other things that are wicked and sinful as well. Then let not the sun go down. What does that all mean? Yes, Tammy?
Don't hold that unforgiveness towards someone.
All right.
I mean, if you're angry, you try and resolve why you're angry before the sun goes down.
So right. John?
I was going to say, don't let it fester.
At your wrath. How would you define wrath?
It's the strongest part of anger.
Okay. That's what it says in verse 26, doesn't it?
Yep.
Angry, but not wrathful. Won't let the sun go down. In other words, cool off before you go to bed. Before the sun goes down.
So you may be angry, I guess, still, but you won't have that wrath.
Have the wrath. Did we read?
No.
27, all right, let's read 27, 28, 29 together.
Neither give place to the devil. Let him the soul steal no more.
But rather,
working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
All right, and verse 27. What does that all mean? Another continuing thing. Continuing verse 26. Yeah, Tam?
I guess the holding the wrath can produce a place for the devil.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So he can get a stronghold in your life.
All right, Pastor Dan?
When you put off the old man, you have these things that still remain. Mm-hmm. We have, after this, these next couple of verses are the things that remain if we're holding on to them.
All right. What does it mean to give place to something or someone?
Opportunity, an opening.
At the time.
It's almost like giving an authority.
Could be.
Giving place, you know.
Yes. Once an authority over you, different things. Then in verse. We finished with 27.
There's a hand over here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Anna.
Or maybe if you think about in a battlefield strategy, if you're fighting and if you sort of don't press as hard up against the enemy, then maybe the enemy will come in and into the void where mm-hmm. you weren't holding against.
All right.
Yeah,
so give place, sort of give room, right? To give some space to come in.
In the old-fashioned wars, you had lines of soldiers, and if there was a gap, the enemy could come in that way.
Yes, right. That's true. Give a little room, have them come in. That's right. Don't give place to the devil or any of his. The devil, is he a person, and is he true? Do all people believe as a person, like that he's true? No, they don't. But what are some of the things he did in the scriptures? What are some of the things he did? Is he good or bad?
Bad.
He's bad evil. Yeah, Tammy.
He deceived Eve in the garden.
Deceived Eve.
Caused her to sin.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that the old devil has done we know about in the scriptures?
He became very proud and wanted to be like God, and he left heaven. He was cast out of heaven.
All right. So. Did he ever talk to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what did he try to do?
Tried to tempt him.
All right. What three different things did he try to do to the Lord Jesus Christ? Say concerning
him? That stone into bread.
Stone into bread is one.
He had been fasting, so he was starved.
Right. That's one. What else did he try to do?
Jump off the pinnacle of the temple.
The temple and catch your son. What's the third thing?
The third thing was, look out, and if you'll bow down and worship me, you can have all these things.
All these things.
Which he owned anyway.
Exactly. Those are things. So just don't give any place or room to the old devil. He's wicked. And people don't even realize he's alive and well on planet Earth.
Yep.
What will his end be and when? What will his end be?
The lake of fire.
What?
The lake of fire.
Lake of fire. And what will it be during the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where will he be and how
will he be? Bound for 1,000 years.
Bound. Not anything with his evil doings. But at the end of the 1,000 years,
he'll be loosed.
Loosed
for a season.
For a season. And finally, as Tammy said, he'd be cast into the lake of fire.
Right. At the end of time.
At the end of time. He'd be there forever and conquered. But until then, he's loose. We've got to be very careful. Don't give place. And did we read 28 yet?
Yes. 28 and 29.
Yeah, 28 and 29. Now, what about the one that stole in the past? Stole funds or money. What is it?
We're going to steal no more.
Steal no more. That's part of the wickedness of our flesh. Mm-hmm. Evil, isn't it? But what should
put
the,
that off?
Excuse me?
The person should put that off.
Put that off, that's right.
Right.
And what, instead of that, what should be the case that they should do instead of stealing?
Labor.
Labor and work. And make their own money and their own livelihood. And then, how should they work, according to verse 28?
With their hands.
Working with their hands, that's right. Whether it's in a typewriter or whether it's some other place, yes, Tim?
That's what the Apostle Paul did. He made tents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Worked very, very hard, didn't he? It's listed in is it Galatians or 2 Corinthians, a whole list of things that happened to Paul. Is it 2 Corinthians?
The things that happened to him, but does it say that he was a tent maker then?
Yeah.
Working with his own hands.
Yeah.
Maybe it says 2 Corinthians 11?
Yeah. That's a beautiful song that says an hour has transpired.
Right.
But do you have any other comments before we close tonight? Thank you for coming.
I'm not sure if it tells